Good morning, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for the Let the Bible Speak program. I want to conclude our series of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 today, and I'm glad that you've been joining us for this study, and I hope that it has been helpful and beneficial. We've been looking at men and women who are faithful to God in the Old Testament, and the writer of the book of Hebrews writing to New Testament Christians, bringing up these Old Testament characters to encourage these New Testament Christians to be faithful to God. And we've entitled our theme, Though He Be Dead, Yet He Speaks. Taken from the example of Abel in verse 4, these men and women are dead, but they're still speaking to us. And we've been talking over the past few weeks about how the dead talk to us, not directly, not literally, but they speak to us as they tell us in their life story, their example, how faithful they are to God. And they are telling us in Hebrews chapter 11 that we need to be faithful and we will have the same reward. So I want to close this morning with three more that are mentioned in the main body of this section. And then the Hebrew writer throws several together at the end, and we will incorporate that into one lesson. So let's look at Moses and the Israelites leaving Egypt as they cross the Red Sea. Let's look at the fall of Jericho. Let's look at the salvation of Rahab and her house. And then let's look at this closing miscellaneous list of men and women on faith. Sometimes I call this the leftover lessons on faith, because sometimes a person might not want to read over these, but they have very important lessons for us and what we can learn from that. So our study has brought us down to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. Hebrews 11, 29. What can these dead say to us today? Well, Hebrews 11, 29, by faith they, Moses and the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were swallowed up. This is a reference, of course, back to Exodus chapter 14, after the 10 plagues, and God is bringing Israel out of Egypt with a powerful and mighty hand. There's one last thing that they need to do. They need to cross the Red Sea and get completely out of Egypt. Well, there's a problem. As the Israelites are coming out of Egypt, there is the Egyptian army bearing down on them. Pharaoh changed his mind and said, nope, I'm going to go after these Israelites. I'm not going to let them go. So you've got the Egyptian army bearing down on you from behind. As it got close to them, no doubt you could hear the roar of the chariots. That would be very, very intimidating and stressful and scary. You might get afraid. And then in front of you is this large body of water called the Red Sea, and you're in between. And yet, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. And so, our first lesson this morning is that the dead would say to us, that we need to follow God's word and have faith in God's word and obey God's word, even though there are great challenges associated with it. God brought them out of the land of Egypt, and he didn't have to bring them out under this particular circumstance. He didn't have to have an army chasing them from behind and a lot of water in front of them. He could have chosen a different route. And he chose not to. He chose to bring them this way. And there's going to be a reason for it, and that is so that they can continue to put their faith in him and stand still and trust in God and believe in God. And whenever God tells us to do things today as a Christian, and there are great challenges associated with that, these folks in the Old Testament would say, do it. It's well worth it. And they left their bondage of Egypt even after there was this one last very great hurdle to meet. They did it by faith. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10 reads, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto Jehovah, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to bring us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we spake unto thee in Egypt, saying, Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it were better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Jehovah will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And Jehovah said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." And that's what happened. Moses lifted up his rod and stretched it out, and the children of Israel crossed over on dry land. And he lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go in after them, and I will get me honor unto Pharaoh and unto all the house, the host, and under the chariots and upon his horses. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon the chariots, and upon his horses. And that's exactly what happens. They cross over on dry ground, and then Moses lifts up his rod again, and the waters come back together and swallow up the Egyptians. And we find at the end of Exodus chapter 14 that the Lord had done as he had promised, and Israel had faith in that. Exodus 14:31, "And Israel saw the great work which Jehovah did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared Jehovah, and they believed in Jehovah and in his servant Moses." So there's fear on the front side. They were afraid of the Egyptians, but when they cross through on dry ground, they fear the Lord and believe in him. And then chapter 15, they sing the song of Moses. Number one, these individuals would say, have faith in God, obey. And they pressed forward. They did what they were told to do. The army behind them would have been intimidating. The wall of water on each side of them, no doubt, would have been intimidating. And yet they trusted in what God said. And they came out saved. And we will do the same. Do what God says in the New Testament, even though it's going to come with great challenges, maybe great challenges in leaving worldliness, great challenges in leaving family or friends to serve the Lord, great challenges in leaving sin and temptation and habits, but you can do it. Another lesson that we learn in Hebrews chapter 11 is in the very next verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. The second thing that these folks would say is, number one, do what God says, even though it's challenging. And number two, do what God says, even though it may not make sense to us. Of course, you leave the story there in Exodus chapter 14 and 15, and Israel wanders through the wilderness for 40 years, and they enter into the land of Canaan. And the book of Joshua tells us about that. And when they enter into the land of Canaan, it comes time for the Joshua and the Israelites to begin to war with the Canaanites and take the land of Canaan so that it would become their own. And in so doing, they would punish the Canaanites for their sin. And the first major battle that we read of is this fall of Jericho. And turn with me to Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and following. The Hebrew writer says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days." These individuals would say, have faith in God and believe in what he says, even though it may not make sense. But it will work. If God says it will work, it will work. Have faith in that. We don't need to go on human reason and what we think and what we feel and whether or not it makes sense or not. We need to read our New Testaments. And when God has things for us, we need to do that. baptism may not make sense for people, but it's what God wants us to do. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We've got to do these things. Somebody might say, well, that doesn't make sense. We need to do what God says to do, whether it makes sense or not. And you can turn back to Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all the men of war, going about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. And that's exactly what they do. They follow those orders to a T. They compass the city once for 6 days, and on the 7th day they compass it 7 times, and they blow the ram's horns, and that's exactly what happens. The walls fall flat. Now, today, you can go out and stand in front of a very thick wall. These would have been thick walls, not just a little thin wall of maybe 1 foot in depth, but several feet deep, stacked up with stones and mortar. And these walls fell down flat. And you can go out to a very thick wall that surrounds a city, and you can yell all day long, and it's not going to come down. And you can march around a city all day long if you want to, and blow trumpets. The wall's not going to go anywhere. But on this occasion, God said to do this. And that's exactly what happened. They followed these instructions on this occasion. And I'm sure there were some Israelites thinking, this is not going to work. You can march around all day long, and you can blow trumpets all day long, and it's not going to work. But it did. And by faith, they compassed those walls. And so somebody would say today, well, things don't make sense, or I don't feel, or I don't think, but we need to do what God says. And so that is very, very important. And when they did that, that's exactly what happens. And when you read the rest of chapter 6, that's what happened. And so we come to verse 15. It came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early at the dawning of the day, get up early and do what God says. And they compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout! For Jehovah has given you the city, and the city shall be devoted, even it and all that are therein, to Jehovah. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all her that is in the house, because she hid the messengers. And we're going to talk about her in a minute. They did all of that, and the walls came down. Verse 21, they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, both young and old, ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. And so it came to pass that they did that. Verse 20. So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Just simply do what God says to do. You might think it's crazy. You might think that it doesn't match up with what's going on in your life, that it doesn't match up with science, or that it doesn't match up with current philosophy and human wisdom and psychology and sociology and any other ology. But when we read our Bible, we need to do what God says. And so that is extremely important. Number one, do what God says, even though it comes with great challenges. Number two, do what God says, even though it doesn't fit your thinking or what you feel or what you think is reasonable or rational. And number three, with regard to Rahab, do what God says, and follow his instructions to the T. Follow his instructions exactly the way he would want that done, and you'll be saved. That's what Rahab would say. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot perished not with them that were disobedient. She and those that she had gotten in her home were saved. We just read about that in Joshua chapter 6. All the others were completely destroyed. Verse 21, both young and old, men and women, they're all destroyed. But she was saved. How was she saved? Well, she followed the plan of salvation that was given to her. She was given a plan of salvation. And we're given a plan of salvation today in the Gospels. She was given a plan of salvation, and she followed that carefully and exactly like she was supposed to do. We're going to go back and look at that in just a minute. But that's what she would say. She would say, when God gives you instructions on how to be saved, follow those instructions carefully and exactly, and you'll be saved. Well, to get that story, you have to go back earlier from Joshua chapter 6, back to Joshua chapter 2. And when Joshua had sent out two spies to spy out the land, they come, and they're received into the home of Rahab the harlot, and she hides them. In chapter 2 and verse 8, we don't have time to read all of it, she had heard about how that the Lord had delivered Israel out of Egypt and his power and his greatness. So she had already had some knowledge. Faith comes by hearing. She had already heard that, and she begins to place her faith in what God says. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear to me by Jehovah, since I have dealt kindly, that you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and will deliver our lives from death. And the men said unto her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when Jehovah gives us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. She was saved. But before they leave, and as they are leaving, before they completely leave her, they give her three conditions that she has to meet. Three steps, if you will, in her plan of salvation. Number one, she has to put a scarlet rope or line or thread out of her window. Verse 18, when we come into the land, these men are saying to her, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. They let them down by something that was big enough to hold a man. So we're not talking about like a thimble and thread. Some of the older versions use thread, but a rope. And let them down. And look at what he says. Leave it in the window. Bind this scarlet thread in the window which thou hast let us down by, and thou shalt gather under the number two, thou shalt gather into thy house thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we be guiltless. So get them in your house and keep them in your house. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And then the third condition, if thou utter this business, then we shall be guiltless of thine oath, which thou hast made to swear. And she said, according unto the words, so be it. And she went away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. She got her family in there. They did not leave, and she did not utter that to anybody, and she was saved. She would say that it's very important to follow God's plan of salvation. And at different times, friends, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there are different plans of salvation for different individuals. For Noah and the ark, it was build the ark and get on the ark. He and his family did. Nobody else did. For Rahab the harlot, it was this. She had to do it. Different people are told to do different things to receive great blessings. And we can have remission of sins if we will believe and be baptized, Mark 16:16. If we will repent of our sins and be baptized, Acts 2:38. Romans 9:9-10, we have to confess that Jesus is the Christ. When we do these things, friends, and live faithfully each day, we can be saved. And even as a Christian, if sin gets into our life, we can confess that. 1 John 1:7-9, and we can repent of that and pray, Acts 8, and we can be forgiven again. So even a Christian who slips up, if you will, and a sin comes into their life, they can get rid of that with the Christian's plan of salvation. Whatever it is, do it. And these individuals would say, it is worth it. And somebody could say, well, you know, it doesn't make sense to leave this rope out the window. Well, it may not, but that's what you need to do. And whatever it is in the plan of salvation, do it. This woman received the spies by faith, and she did not perish. And then the text says, with them that were disobedient. Not everybody wants to obey. And not everybody wants to obey the gospel. And friends, you need to do that before it's too late. We don't know when Jesus is going to come again. And I would just remind you of a very sobering and very serious New Testament passage. And that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, with regard to Jesus coming again. We need to take it very seriously. Paul writes, at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, this is the second coming, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. People who do not obey the gospel, they are going to get the Lord's vengeance, and they're going to suffer eternal punishment and destruction in hell fire. We've got to obey the gospel. These Old Testament men and women would say, when God gives you a plan of salvation, follow it carefully to the T, and you will be greatly rewarded. Well, one last section here in Hebrews chapter 11, and then we will close for today, and we will close our series. In verses 32 through 40, the Hebrew writer lists several Old Testament examples, men and women, who did great things by faith. And there are a lot of things that could be said about the individual stories, but I just simply want to categorize this for our lesson today and group it all together under this heading. And that is that these men and women would say that you need to have faith in God and obey His word, even if it brings to you personal sacrifices and even personal harm, that you will be rewarded greatly one day in heaven. And any kind of personal sacrifices or harm or detriment that you've had to face in this life, you will be rewarded greatly for it. People may call you names. People may physically hurt you. People may ostracize you, put you down, not allow you to be in their little circle of friends because you are living a Christian life. You might have to suffer some personal punishment and pain, but it is worth it because one day you will be greatly rewarded for that. That's how I want to group this last section together. Let's read it, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me. And so he just summarizes rather than going into details like he had done earlier in the chapter. Time would fail me if I tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, some of the judges that are mentioned, David, one of the kings of Israel, Samuel, the last of the judges and a prophet. of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Notice how faith causes us to work what is right. Obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That might be a reference to Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. Quenched the power of fire. That might be a reference to Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were thrown in the fiery furnace but were not hurt in Daniel 3. They had faith in God and would not bow down to idolatry. Escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness were made strong. Grew mighty in war. Turned to flight armies of aliens. Women received their dead by a resurrection. And others were tortured. The word tortured there comes from a Greek word from which we get our word timpani, the drum, the timpani drum. A timpani is a drum that has a material stretched out on the top of it, and you can bang it with a mallet and it makes a drum sound. It meant to be stretched out. A person is stretched out, probably on a rack or poles, and then beaten and tortured. Tortured, not accepting their deliverance. They went to their death faithful to God, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's my point, brethren and friends. You're going to have something better in the life to come. And you might have to endure some physical wars and battles and problems and people saying things and doing things to you that are not right, but you will be rewarded greatly in the end. Others had trial of mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world is not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the earth. And these all, having had witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise. That is, some promises came fulfilled in their lifetime, and others, like the promise of the Christ, would come later. And so they did not receive those types of promises that were down the road. Yet they stayed faithful. God, having promised some better thing concerning us, that apart from us, what Christians get in Christ, they should not be made perfect. And then in the next verse, he calls them a great cloud of witnesses. These are people who were willing to be tortured and ill-treated for serving God. And they would say, it is worth it because you get a better resurrection. And so, a home in heaven in that resurrection day. So, do what God says, even though it's challenging. Do what God says, even though it doesn't make sense. Do what God says and follow it exactly in order to be saved. And do what God says, even though it brings ill treatment, you will be rewarded greatly in the end. Thank you for being with us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.